Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph with Upiv Mitzupah Zahav. In our Mishnah, the Mishnah discussed the fact that the shofar of Rosh Hashanah was covered at the mouth with gold. The Gemara says, Vatanya, don't we have a braita tzibo zahav memakom anachat piv pasul? That if it's covered in gold where the placement of the mouth is, then it's pasul. Shelo b'makom anachat piv, if it's covered in gold in a place where the mouth is not placed on the shofar, then it's kasher. So Amar Abaye says, no problem. Kitnan nami matnitin. Our Mishnah, when it discussed about being tzibozav, shalom makom anachat peh tnan. That's a case where it wasn't in the place where you place your mouth. So therefore, our Mishnah is allowing for the gold to be on the shofar because it's not a hefsek between the blower's mouth and the shofar itself. It's not in the location of the opening of the shofar. We'll discuss this more in length later on in the daf, where Tosafot discusses the difference within a larger braita that we just quoted over here. Ushtei chatzotrot minat tzadim. In the Mishnah, it says that the shofar is in the middle and the chatzotrot are on the side. Where it says, "Utrei kali mi mishtamet." If you have two sounds that are blowing simultaneously, how can you hear them? Whether it's the shofar or the chatzotrot, you can't hear them because you can't discern. Va'atanya, zachor v'shamor b'dibur achad nemru. With regards to Shabbat, in Parshat Yitro, when it mentions the Aser T'dibrot, it says zachor. And in Parshat Etchanan, when it mentions the Aser T'dibrot, it says shamor. And we have the Midrash Chachamim on that zachor v'shamor b'dibur achad nemru. They were said simultaneously. Masha'ein apeh yuchola ledaber, which is impossible or humanly impossible to do. Ve'en ha'ozen yuchola lishmoa. And generally what people can't hear, they can't hear two words at once, and they can't speak two words at once, implying that there is no such concept of taking two sounds and be able to hear both sounds simultaneously. Now, with regards to Zachor B'Shamor, there are many limudim that come out of that, including the one that Moshe Yeshno B'Shamor, Yeshno B'Zachor. The Shamor refers to the lotaseh, the things that you're not allowed to do on Shabbat, desisting from Malacha. Zachor are the positive commandments. And Chazal tell us that whoever is obligated in the lo taseh, which means everybody, because every Jew is obligated in the lo taseh, is also included in the aseh. That's despite the fact that many of the positive commandments on Shabbat are mitzvah aseh shazman grama. Nevertheless, because of the hekesh between Zachor v'Shamor, we learn that all mitzvot of Shabbat apply equally to everyone. Nekach marich b'shofar. Mar says, okay, that's why our Mishnah tells us that they let the shofar go longer than the chatzotrot, so you could hear the sound of the shofar by itself. Lememra. So you're implying from this that you don't have to hear the beginning of the tekiah and the end of the tekiah. You can come in the middle and let it be finished off, and that's fine. And from that you would also draw a conclusion. If you hear the beginning of a tekiah without the end of a tekiah, yatsa. Meaning that you don't have to hear the whole blowing, you just have to hear the sheer tekiah, and you can hear either the beginning or the end, because over here you're just going to hear the end of the tekiah. Tashma. Is that really true? Because we have a Mishnah further on that says, Taka berishona. He blows a tekiah before the truah. Umashach b'shniah. And then he blows a tekiah after the truah. And then that tekiah he makes, kishtayim. Two tekiot long. So basically he's blowing tekiah, truah, tekiah. And then he's going to blow again another tekiah, truah, tekiah. So he says, listen, if I'm going to finish off one tekiah and have to start another tekiah, I'll just blow one long tekiah that'll take care of both of them. So blow a tekiah, truah, then a super long tekiah, which will both be the end of the first set, as well as the beginning of the second set. Ein biyado al achat. We say that it only counts as one. Amai. Why not? Tisalek le bitarte. It could be two. You heard the beginning of it for the end of the first set, and you heard the end of it for the latter set. It says, psuke tekiata meadodi lo paskinan. You can't just break up tekiot. You can count it as one tekiah. You can't count it as two separate tekiot. So yes, you can hear half a tekiah, beginning or end. But you can't say one single tekiah really counts as two unless you cut it off, unless you have a break in there. Without a break, it's considered to be one tekiah. Tosafot later on in the Masechta discusses as to why this is a problem at all, because with regards to blowing of the shofar, for instance, between sets, we blow tashrat, tashat, and tarat. We blow three different types of truah, probably because of the safek as to what the truah is. And therefore, when you're going between sets, Tosafot says, like for instance, if you're at the end of the tashrat, and then you're blowing the last tekiah for tashrat, and then you're blowing a tekiah going into tashat, he says, then over there you should have to only blow one tekiah, because mimonav shach, you're okay. Either shvarim truah is the real truah, and then this is the end of the tekiah, and what you're about to blow afterwards is not meaningful. The tekiah shvarim tekiah is not the real truah, and then you don't have to blow it. On the other hand, if Shvarim is the real Truah, then the Tekiah at the end of the Shvarim Truah is not meaningful, and the Tekiah at the beginning of the Shvarim is meaningful. So technically you could do this where that one tekiah could actually function for both of them. In the end, we don't do that, partly because then they might do it in situations where it does matter. For instance, when you're doing tekiah, shvarim, teruah, tekiah, and then the next tekiah, shvarim, teruah, tekiah, there you can't do it. You can only do it between the sets, as well as the fact that later on in the Masechta, we'll see that we're trying to get to a certain number of kolot outside of the din d'oraita of the 9 kolot. We're trying to get to certain numbers, and therefore by blowing multiple tekiot, it helps us out. Tashma, we have another Mishnah that's coming up, which is Atokea l'tocha bor, l'tocha dot, l'tocha pitas, or pitaim. We'll see in the Mishnah coming up what the proper girsa is. Person who blows into a pit, into a built-out area on the ground, or into a barrel. Imkol shofar shema, if he heard the sound of the shofar, yatsa, then he's okay. Imkol havara shema, if he hears the echo, lo yatsa, then he's not yotze. Amai? Why isn't he yotze with the beginning of the sound before the sounds mix? Meaning that he's blowing the shofar, and then as he continues to blow the shofar, the echo starts to come in. But at the very beginning, there's just the sound of the shofar, and then afterwards, the sounds mix. So therefore, if that's the case, at least in the beginning, he had a tekiah, and he should be fine. Ella tarte kale mechad gavra lo mishtame. You're right. Two sounds from one individual, that cannot be heard. Mitre gavre, but if it's two individuals, mishtame, then you can hear them. So now, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is since the chatzot throat are blown by different individuals than the shofar, those sounds can be heard because they're being produced by different individuals and that you can focus on. Whereas if it's produced by one individual simultaneously, the two sounds, that you cannot focus on. Gemara says, mitre gavre mi mishtame. Is it really true when you have two different people producing sounds that you can really hear them? Batanya, we have a braita. But Torah, echad kore, vechad mitargem. When it comes to Torah, one person reads the Torah, and then one person translates the Torah. And we do that separately. First, you read the Torah, then you pause, and then the person translates the pasuk into Aramaic. The way they used to do it, they read a pasuk from the Torah in Hebrew, and then right away they'd have someone read the targum of that pasuk, the translation of that pasuk into Aramaic. Still the practice of some of the Taimani communities to do this. It's a very long Kriyat HaTorah. But they did this, and they didn't do it simultaneously. The person reading the Torah and the translation happening simultaneously. Vuvad shelo, here there's some question about the girsa. Echad kore, ushnayim mitargamin, that one person is reading and two people are translating. Or there's another girsa, which is uvad shelo ushnayim korim, ushnayim mitargamin, that both two people reading or two people translating. So you see here, even when multiple people are doing it, then you still can't have a discerning of listening, and it's not allowed. Gemara says, "Elo damyo, elo l'seifa." No, that's not the case to compare it to. This is more similar to the latter half of that Mishnah and Megillah, which is b'Halel u'Megillah. When it comes to Halel or Megillah, filu asara korin, even 10 people can read it simultaneously and you're yotze. Alma. So from what's the conclusion from here? That there are differences. Sometimes we can hear multiple voices from multiple people. Sometimes we cannot. What is the distinguishing feature? Kevin dechoviv yohiv date. Something that is unique, special, and beloved, then you make the effort and you can hear it. And you can be discerning about the sounds or the voices that you hear. So that is true by Megillah and Hallel, which are special and unique mitzvot, which people love and enjoy. Whereas Kriyat HaTorah, which is on a weekly basis, over there, people don't have that type of Zitzfleisch for that, and therefore they're not as discerning. So Hachanami, so too by the shofar, Kevin the Chaviv, since it's a beloved mitzvah, Yoiv Date Vishama. He'll make a concerted effort and focus and concentrate and be able to hear the shofar. So if that's the case, Elalama Marich Bishofar. Well, if that's the case, then why does he have to have the shofar go beyond the Chatzotzrot anymore? We don't need that for the halachic reasons. Eidash, mitzvah Rayom Bishofar. It's a siman. It's not part of the mitzvah. It's just a sign that the shofar is the primary instrument of the day, and that's why we have the shofar go on beyond the chatzotzrot. Ubtaniyot, Bishel Zacharim, Kifufim. Our Mishnah says that on Taniyot you use the ayol that is kafuf, upiv mitzvah kesef, and its mouth is covered in silver. Maishna hotom dizahav. How come by Rosh Hashanah the shofar that we use has gold on it? Maishna ocha de kesef. And over here by the chatzotzrot, or the shofar that we're using, it's silver. Ibai dema, kohokunu faya de kesifu, that any types of instruments used for gathering the people together is made out of silver. Dichtiv, aselecha shtei chatzotzrot kesef. Moshe in the Midbar, in Parshat Balotcha, is commanded to make two trumpets made out of silver. And those were used for bringing the people together. So over here, by a tanit, the whole purpose of the blowing is to bring the people together. and therefore it should be made out of silver. The Torah didn't want a tremendous expenditure or burden on Klal Yisrael. They're going to make everything out of gold. So therefore, they make it out of silver. So Hatam Navid Gesef. If that's the case, then also by the Shofar of Rosh Hashanah, you should also make it out of silver. When it comes to Yom Tov over there, we're willing to make a little extra effort or a little higher expenditure because of the Kvod of Yom Tov. So for Kvod of Rosh Hashanah or Yom Tov, we put Zahav on the Shofar. For the guards of Taniyot, we save on the expenditure and we make them out of silver and not out of gold. Rapapa Bar Shmuel Savar, Nameyavad Uvdo Kimat Nitin. He wanted to practice like our Mishnah, which is the Chatzotzrot and the Shofar. Amar LeRava Lo Amru Elo V'Mikdash. That's only practice in the Mikdash. This is not a practice for the Gvulin. In the Mikdash, they do both instruments. But outside of the Mikdash, they do not. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a Braita that supports that understanding. Bamed V'Marim B'Mikdash. This is only true in the Mikdash. Avob Gvulin. In the Gvulin, B'Makom She'esh Chatzotzrot Ain't Shofar. Whenever there are trumpets, there's no Shofar. Makom She'esh Shofar Ain't Chatzotzrot. If there's a Shofar, there's no trumpets. So when they used to have this practice in these locations to do a shofar and chatzotzrot like our Mishnah, when the Chachamim got wind of this, it's only true when you're walking in from the eastern side of the Mikdash on Harabayit, not in the Gvulin, so your practice is incorrect, and you should only be either blowing the shofar or the chatzotzrot depending on the nature of the day. What's the source for this? In the Psukim, that you only blow the Chatzotzrot together with the Shofar in the Mikdash, but when you're in the Gvulin, you separate them. Dichtiv, HaChatzotzrot, V'kol Shofar Hariyu Lifnei HaMelech Hashem. So HaChatzotzrot and the Kol HaShofar are heard Lifnei HaMelech Hashem. They are only blown or trumpeted before Hashem. Lifnei HaMelech Hashem Hu DeBe'inan Chatzotzrot V'kol Shofar. They're only combined or done together when you're in front of Hashem. Aval ba'alma, when you're in the Gvulin and not in front of Hashem, then lo, then they're separate instruments and we do not bring them together. And that's of course our practice that on Rosh Hashanah, we only blow the shofar. Now Gemara says, based on the Mishnah, Sheveh ha-Yovel, the Rosh Hashanah, the Tkiyah, the Brachot. Rosh Hashanah and Yovel have the same din with regards to Tkiyah, the shofar, and with regards to Brachot, the Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Himan Matzlina Ha'idna. Today, who do we daven like? Our Rosh Hashanah davening, who is that like? Because we say in our Rosh Hashanah davening, Zehayom Chilat Masecha, Zikaron Liyom Rishon. Today is the beginning of your creation, the remembrance of the first day. Which implies that when we're davening on Rosh Hashanah, we're saying that that day is the day of creation. Kiman, Kirabi Eliezer. That's like Rabbi Eliezer, who we bumped into earlier in the Masechta, that says on Davchet, Amar B'Tishrei Hanivra Ha'olam, that the world was created in Tishrei. Not like Rabbi Yeshua, who says that it was created in Nisan. So now, the Gemara says, we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, because that's what we had in our davening. Meiti Rabina, Shaveh Yovel to Rosh Hashanah l'tkiyah u'lebrachot. Yovel is similar to Rosh Hashanah for tkiyah and brachot. Va'ika zeh yom tilat masecha zigaron yom rishon. How could you say that on Yom Kippur? On Rosh Hashanah, that's relevant, because that's part of creation. Whether that's the first day of creation, or whether that's the sixth day of creation when man is created, it's still relevant. But by the time you get to Yom HaKippurim, that statement is not relevant. So Gemara says, and there, Ravina says, Berashana ita obaviovaleta. We would say it on Rosh Hashanah, we would not say it on Yom Kippur of the Yovel. Gemara says, Kiktani Asharo. The comparison or the parallel between Rosh Hashanah and Yovel is about everything else. Of course, that statement will be left out on Yom Kippur of the Yovel. Shesha braid the Rav Idi, Matne Hochi. He learned it this way. Amar Rav Shmuel Bayitzel Hadit, Tanan Shavel Yovel, Rosh Hashanah, the Tkiyah Brachot, Kiman. Who's that like? Dolog Rabbi Eliezer. That's not like Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabbi Eliezer, because if it was Rabbi Eliezer, came to Amar B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, Ha'ika Zeh Yom Tkilat Masecha Zikaron Yom Rishon, the Brashana Ito V'Yovel Eita. Because then there would be a difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because on Rosh Hashanah you would say Zeh Hayom Tkilat Masecha, and you wouldn't say it on Yom Kippur, so there is a difference. So Mara says, no, Kikitani Ashara, it's not a proof, because you could just say that the parallel between them is on the other items. This one item will be a difference between them. Now this presents a very big problem. I hinted to it before when we discussed this early in the Masechta, but you have a problem now because the Gemara here paskins like Rabbi Eliezer, because that's our practice on Rosh Hashanah, is to say Zeh Yom Techilat Maasecha. The problem is that, for instance, when you do Birkat HaChama, we do it in Nisan time, which means that we think that the world was created in Nisan. So which one is it? Was the world created in Nisan, or was the world created in Tishrei? So there are a number of answers to this question. Now, when we look back there in the Gemara, at the end of that sugya, it says that the Chachamim hold like Rabbi Yoshua, and the Chachamim Olam hold like Rabbi Eliezer. Well, once you've done that, that says that we believe that we paskin like Rabbi Yoshua. So then what are we doing over here with Zayom Chilat Ma'asecha? So there are Rishonim that say that this Gemara over here governs. It's a machloket asugyot, and Rav Tanu Poligu, and Rav is found here, and therefore we paskin like Rav, because he's both a Batro and he's a Tanu Polig, and therefore we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. And in Ochanami, that Gemara which said that Chachamei Yisrael hold like Rabbi Yeshua disagrees, but we don't paskin like that. That's one approach. Another approach in the Rishonim is to say in Ochanami that we paskin like Rabbi Yoshua, but why do we count the years and why do we start from Tishrei? It's because you have many things, a lot, most of the things that we talk about on quote unquote Rosh Hashanah start from Tishrei, as the Mishnah says. Now that's a solution to the problem of why we do it on Rosh Hashanah. It does not help you with regards to Zeh Yom Tchilat Ma'asecha. Over here, and I mentioned this earlier, Masechta, the Rabbeinu Tam discusses an opinion which is Allah b'machshava. It was in Hashem's mind to create the world b'tishrei, but he only actually created it in Nisan. Now, by doing that, he deals with both problems. He says there is a form of creation on Tishrei, because Hashem thought to create the world at that point in time. But he actually created it in Nisan. And that's why we do Birkat HaChama and all those other things are those items from Nisan. On the other hand, when it comes to the beginning of creation, quote unquote, as I've discussed before, we say in Davening Hayom Harat Olam, today is the conception of the world, not the birth of the world, which is similar to what the Rabbeinu Tam is suggesting here, that it's Allah b'machshava, that it came up in Hashem's mind to create it, but he doesn't actually create it till later. So therefore, with regards to Chilat Masechka and creation, that we start from Tishrei. In function, or in reality, we only count from Nisan, like Rabbi Yoshua. That's for Birkat HaChama, for the Tkufot, and for the Molad of the Levana. That all is counted from Nisan. Now that can work in either direction. I mean, it could be that both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua now are not really disagreeing. One is saying that Allah B'machshava is more important, and one is saying that the actuality is more important. And therefore we paskin as a mixture of both of them, which is that the Allah B'machshava has impact in certain areas, and the actuality has impact in other areas. And that is the machlok between them. Tosafot back in Daf Chet had an issue, and he says, how could Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua really be arguing over here? Because it's clear, based on the calculations, when the Molad is and when the Tkufot are, and we can figure it out. So once we figure that out, then it's obvious whether it was Nisan or Tishrei, and the answer would be Nisan and not Tishrei. That can be answered because a lot of what's discussed in terms of the Molad and in terms of the Tkufot is backdated. I mean, that we have certain times where we have a Mesorah that was the starting date, but we don't have a placement of that. I mean, that you could back into the Tkufa or the Molad of the moon based on knowing what the Molad is today, and then you could back it out. Now, we do it the opposite because the Chachamim didn't have the calculations. They had the original Molad, and then they just kept adding on to that Molad based on the Mesorah we're going to see later on in the Masechta about the length of a lunar day. So based on that, they were able to calculate it. But the truth is, if the first creation was at Vid, which was on the sixth day, Yudelichot was the Molad, then they calculate backwards to Baharad, which means that the year before, the Molad was on Bet, Hey, and then Reish Dalet. Bet means Monday, Hey, Shaot, 5 Shaot, and Reish Dalet, Chalakim, 204 Chalakim on the day. But they did that simply by backing out from Vid. So there are ways to adjust for knowing Nisan or Tishrei. If you know one of them, you can back into the other and figure out which one is which. Now, the fact that Vid was the first Molad is only a number that we know from working it out. It's obviously been Mesorah that they had this, but the truth is that that may not be the dictating form here. And that's what Rabbeinu Hananel says back on Daf Chet. He says that the Chachmei Yisrael, with regards to Dinim that deal with the solar, we paskin like the Chachamim, that it's like Rabbi Yoshua. With regards to things that are lunar, we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, that it's from Tishrei. So that means the Molad is counted from Tishrei, and the Tkufot are counted from Nisan. Now, that's interesting, but one of them has to be creation. So the answer to that question might be that the Chachamim backed into the number of when the Tkufa was for the Nisan before, and they said, no, the world is created in Tishrei, and we're going to count from there. Ah, for Tkufa, we're going to count from Nisan. Why? Because as far as the seasons are concerned, then spring is the right time to start the Tkufot. That's the spring. That's the beginning of the growth. So that's the right time to do things with Tkufot. That's the Molad. It has to do with the creation of the world, and that's on Tishrei. So that's the way the Rabbeinu Hananel solves this problem or this tension between those two items. Now, based on the Rabbeinu Hananel, it would be very difficult because the fact that we say Birkat HaChaman Nisan would not be the case. And there are Achronim and Poskim that are Choshesh for that sheet of Rabbeinu Hananel and say that we shouldn't make the bracha of Birkat HaChama. Rather, it's a different meaning. The Yerushalmi has a different version of what Birkat HaChama is. That the Chama was covered because of cloud cover for 2 or 3 days and then it finally shows up. That's Birkat HaChama. Not when it's back in the original placement of creation. And therefore, there were Poskim that believed, including Rabbi Kiva Eger, that you shouldn't say Shemo Malchut. You shouldn't make the Birkat HaChama Shemo Malchut because according to Rabbeinu Hananel, that is not the time of creation. The time of creation was in Tishrei. Ala Rov, most people today do it with Shemo Malchut, and we use the Rabbeinu Tam's solution here, which is the Allah B'Machshava, and then the actual creation was on Nisan with the Allah B'Machshava and Tishrei, and that's how we reconcile between these disparate opinions. Okay, next Mishnah. Shofar Shenizdak. You have a shofar that was cracked, Vidavko, and then you glued it back together. Now Rashi says that it's pasul because it's havelei kishnei shofarot. It's like two shofarot. So the way Rashi seems to be learning is that it cracked into two pieces and then he glued it back together. And the problem here is because it's made up of multiple shofarot. Tosafot says he doesn't like that explanation because of the next case in the Mishnah. The next case in the Mishnah is where he glues together a whole bunch of pieces. So that's the same thing. So Tosafot says the case here is where the shofar on one side is sliced all the way along the length of the shofar. And he glues it back together, that is pasul. And the problem here is not a problem of two shofarot, but the problem here is it's not called a shofar anymore. Because you split along the lengthwise, when you glue it back together, you no longer have a shofar. And he says that the Mishnah is zu, bein tzarech lemar zu. That not only in the case where it's split down the middle, all the length, and you glue it, does it not work? But even if you glue all the pieces together, of course, it doesn't work there. Either because these objects are not called a shofar anymore, or because of the drush of Rav Matna, which we're going to see on the latter half of today's daf, which is Vavarto, that has to be Derech Avarato. That you have to blow it the way it grows. And once you put glue in there, that creates a problem, especially when you're gluing multiple pieces together. With regards to the long slice in the shofar, he says either because it's not called a shofar or because it's going to easily break again, and therefore we don't want you doing that. So now, shofar shenizdak, vidavko, pasul. As Rashi says, with glued. If you use glue to put it back together, it doesn't work. Dibeg shivrei shofarot, if he brings pieces of shofarot together, pasul. Nikev ustamo, if it has a hole in it and he plugs up the hole. Imakev etatkia, if it somehow changes the sound, pasul. Vimlav, if not, it's kasher. Now this would be a machloka between Tosafot and Rashi, how to read this. Rashi says that if beforehand you could sound the shofar, and now when you fill the hole, it changes the nature of the sound, then it's problematic. So therefore, if you plug it and it sounds the same, it's fine to plug the shofar. If you plug it and it sounds different, then that is problematic. So that's the way Rashi learns it. Tosafot, on the other hand, says, based on the Yerushalmi, that number one, if you have a hole in a shofar, you can blow the shofar without any problem. Because any sound, and we'll see this later on in our Gemara, is kasher. If you go ahead and fill the hole, then if the hole is filled and it sounds like the shofar did originally, that's fine also. The only time you have a problem is if you fill the hole, and now it sounds different than it did originally. Now, it doesn't matter that before when you blew it, it sounded different because of the hole. And now when you plug it, it sounds different because all you're doing is bringing it back to its original state, the original sound it had before the hole was in it. And that's fine according to Tosafot. According to Rashi, that does not work because your plugging of the hole changes the sound of the shofar. And since it changes the sound of the shofar, that's problematic. So Rashi thinks that all we focus on here with regards to the stima, the plugging of the hole, is if it changes the sound from what it was the moment before till now, that's a problem. Tosafot says it's measured against the original sound of the shofar when there was no hole in there. And therefore they read the Gemara differently later on, and I'll point that out. So nikev ustamo imakev etatkiah, if it stops the tkiah according to Rashi, that means it changes it from what it was the moment before you plugged it. According to Tosafot, it doesn't sound like it did originally. So then, pasul, bimlav kasher, atokei aletoch habor, or aletoch hadot, someone who blows into a pit, or to a built-out, cavernous area, or aletoch hapitaim, or again, pites, which in beitza means people who work with barrels, and here they're blowing into areas that are submerged and create echoes, which is the problem. Rav Haigon says that this was at a time when there was Gezerat HaShmad, so they were trying to hide and blow the shofar. There, the Mishnah says, Shema, Imko shofar yeshama, if you hear the sound of the shofar, yatsa. Vimko avara shama, if you heard the echo, lo yatsa, you're not yutse, and we'll deal with that more in depth in tomorrow's daf. V'chein, Mishai over achorei beit ha-knesset, or shia beito samuch to beit ha-knesset, someone was walking behind the shul, or his house was near the shul, v'shama kol shofar or kol megillah. He hears the chazan blowing the shofar, or reading the megillah. Imki vein libo yatsa. If he intends to be yotzei with the mitzvah, yotzei. V'im lav, if he doesn't intend to be yotzei, lo yatza, he's not yotzei. Afo pish zeh shema v'zeh shema, even though both of them heard the sound of the shofar, both of them heard the Megillah, zeh kivin libo v'zeh lo kivin libo. One of them intended to be yotzei the mitzvah, and one of them did not intend to be yotzei the mitzvah. Again, we'll deal with this in the upcoming daf with regards to whether mitzvah tzrichot kavanah, and what type of kavanah we are speaking about over here. Now, Tana Rabbanan, now we're going to bring an extensive braita to describe what is permitted and not permitted with regards to a shofar. Aroch v'katzro kasher. If it was a very long shofar and you cut it down, that's fine. Gardol, if you scraped it down, v'mido agildo, and you left a very thin shofar, a thin film, kasher, because that's still all day shofar. Tzipeo zahav, if you plated it with gold, v'makom anachat apeh pasul, at the place where you put the mouth, that's pasul. If it's not in the place where you put the mouth, then it's kasher. Tosafot thinks that the simplest explanation of that is on the thickness of the mouth of the shofar, where your lips make contact with the shofar. That's what it's speaking about over here. The problem is, if you explain it that way, then means you did it somewhere else on top of the shofar. And that's the next case of the Mishnah, which is bifnim or mibachutz. In that case, it doesn't seem to match up. You could argue that when it means, komach nachat apeh means at the location where the lips touch on that thickness of the shofar, not on nachat apeh means on the other side of the shofar, the wide end of the shofar that you place the gold over there. So that would be fine. So because the problem is where your lips contact the shofar, we don't want something separating between you and the shofar. Sipeo zav mi bifnim, if he plates it with gold on the inside, pasul, because there for sure it's contributing or affecting the sound that's coming out. Mi bachutz, if he plates it with gold on the outside, im nishtane kolo mi kamot shaya. If the gold plating changes the sound of the shofar, pasul. Bimlav, if it doesn't change the sound at all, then it's kasher. Nikev, if it has a hole in it, ustamo, and then you plugged it, imakev it atkiya pasul, similar to our Mishnah. If that affects the tkiya, it's pasul, bimlav, kasher. Natan shofar betoch shofar. He puts a shofar into another shofar. Imko b'nimi shama. If you hear the inner shofar sound, yatsa. Vimko dechitzon shama lo yatsa. If you hear the outer one sound, then lo yatsa. Tosafot claims the cases where you're hearing a sound that it's from the blowing between the two shofarot. The air that goes between them is causing the sound. Rashi seems to indicate to question if whether the chitzon, the outer shofar, extends beyond the inner shofar, and therefore it has effect on the sound. So as long as the inner shofar can touch your lips and then extend out beyond the outer shofar, then all the sound is coming from the inner shofar. But if you hear the outer sound, I mean if you're blowing the outer shofar, well, the outer shofar has the pnimi in it, similar to the gold on the inside, and it's affecting the sound for sure. Tana Rabbanan, gardo mi bimifnim be mimachutz, if you scrape it down, whether from the inside or the outside, kasher, then it's fine. Gardo be mido agildo, if he scrapes it down to the point where it's a very thin film, kasher, because that's still a shofar. Heniach shofar betok shofar, if he leaves the shofar inside another shofar, imko pnimi shama yatsa, if you hear the inner sound, then that's fine. Im kol chitzon shema lo yatsa. So that's again similar to the previous braita that we saw. Now we have something new, which is hafacho betakabo lo yatsa. If you flip it around and blow it, you're not yotze. Now flipping it around can have two meanings. It can either mean that you blow it from the wide end and have the sound come up the narrow end, or you change the narrow end to the wide end and the wide end to the narrow end, or it can mean that you turn it inside out. So that's what Rav Papa says here. Amar Rav Papa lo teima the hafke kikituna. It's not like you turned your shirt inside out. That's not what he did here. Elisha hirchivet akatzar. He widened out the narrow side of the shofar. Bikitzer terachav. And then he narrowed the wider side. My taima. What's the reason that that is pasul? Kidarav matno. Because of Rav Matno, which we mentioned earlier in the daft. Amar Rav Matno. It says varvata shofar. And the havara means derach havarato beinan. You need to go the way that it grows. So it has to be blown the direction or the way that the horn is growing. That means from the narrow side out to the wider side. And the Chassidish Svarim commenting on the shofar say that this is akin, or this aloha is from the pasuk mina meitza karati ka anani bemerchav ka, that I blow into the narrow side and then anani bemerchav ka, that God answers me on the wider side. And so symbolically you have to be blowing into the narrow side and then having the sound come up on the wider side, because that's symbolic of us calling out to Hashem from tzar, from a narrow, difficult place, and then hoping to be answered with graciousness, compassion, and generosity from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now the Gemara continues. Nivek shivrei shofarot pasul. If he glues them together, it's pasul. Tan Rabbanan, hosif alav goshu, ben bimino, ben shelo bimino pasul. If you add anything onto the shofar, whether it's from the mina shofar or not, it's pasul. Nikev ustamo, if it has a hole and you plug it, Ben b'mino, ben shelo b'mino, pasul. Doesn't matter whether you use the mina shofar or not, it's pasul. Rabbi Natan Omer, who we paskin like, b'mino kasher, use the mina shofar, it's kasher. Shelo b'mino, pasul. When it's not its min, it's pasul. Now this will have different meaning, whether you hold like Rashi or Tosafot. According to Rashi, the brayta here is coming to be machmir on the Mishnah. Remember, the Mishnah said that if you plug the hole and it changes the way the shofar sounds, then it's problematic. Now, he adds on an additional qualification based on this that Rabbi Natan says, that's only if you use the mina shofar. So you have to use mina shofar. It also has to not change the sound of the shofar. And then it is kasher according to Rashi. According to Tosafot, it's actually a kulo over here, because Tosafot believes that if the shofar has a hole in it and you plug it, that's totally fine, as long as it goes back to the original sound of the shofar. It doesn't matter that it changes it now, but it goes back to the original sound of the shofar. Then, Tosafot says, Rabbi Natan's qualification is that if you do it with mino, if you do it with the mina shofar, it doesn't matter what it sounds like afterwards, it's totally fine. So according to Tosafot, if you do it with mino, it can sound like anything you want. You don't plug a hole, totally fine. You plug a hole, shelo b'mino, then it better sound like the original shofar, otherwise it's no good. So according to Tosafot, this is a kula in the braita, whereas according to Rashi, it turns out to be a chumra. So now we have another qualification of this, is b'mino kasher. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'hush nishtayr rubo. That's only if the robe of the original shofar is still there. Michlal, from that you would imply the shelo b'mino, if it's not the mina shofar, afo pish nishtayr rubo pasul. Even if the robe of the original shofar is there, it's still pasul. Igun amatni la seifa. Some say it on the seifa, which means that Rabbi Yochanan is the kula. Shelo b'mino pasul. When is lo b'mino pasul? Am Rabbi Yochanan v'hu shenifkat rubo. That's only when the majority is missing. Michalal. D'mimino. When it's mina shofar, afu b'hu shenifkat rubo kasher. Even if the majority is missing, it's still kasher. So, saka locha. Number one is, out of the two shitot of Rabbi Yochanan, we go the chumra, which means that you have to have rove there in order for b'mino to work. That's number one. Number two is, between Rashi and Tosafot, many of the poskim follow Tosafot, because Tosafot Shita, as long Tosafot here, is based on Yerushalmi. And Yerushalmi supports Tosafot heavily, which is, number one, that if you blow with a hole in there, it is totally fine, because you can have any sound come out. We're going to see that in a minute. Number two is, if you plug the hole, no matter what you plug it with, if the shofar goes back to its original sound, it's fine. If it changes from the original sound, then it's problematic, even though it changes from the last sound that it made with the hole in it. The last thing is, if you plug it b'mino, if you plug it with something that it's min, doesn't matter what it sounds like, that is kasher. Nevertheless, even though it makes sense to paskin like Tosafot, based on Yerushalmi, we are choshesh l'chatchila for shitat Rashi. And therefore, we require those two conditions that Rashi says, which is number one, b'mino. And number two is that when you put the plug in, it doesn't change the sound of the shofar whatsoever from what it was right before that point in time. And that's how we, lechatchila, pasul like Rashi, b'diavad, then we can be sover like Tosafot. As far as a shofar with a hole in it, based both on Rashi and Tosafot, it sounds like it's fine to blow a shofar with a hole in it. Nevertheless, there are Rishonim at the Ritva who are choshesh that when there's a hole in the shofar that you can't use it at all. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, lechatchila, you should not use a shofar that has a hole in it if it's not filled in. Okay, now we continue. Tzipozav mi bifnim. If he coats it, plates it with gold on the inside, pasul, mi bachutz. On the outside, mnishtanekolo. If the sound changes, mi kamuchaya, from what it was before, pasul. Bimlav kasher. Now, nizdak lorko. If it has a crack along the length of the shofar, pasul. Lirach bo. If it's cut, totally severed along the horizontal of the shofar. If there's enough minimum shear of shofar left after it's cut off, kasher, then it's fine. V'imlav pasul. Then otherwise it is pasul, and that's despite the fact that we had the requirement before of derech havarato. So even when you cut it off, it's fine. V'kama shear tkiya, what is that minimum size of a shofar? Perish Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, k'dei she'achzena b'yado, v'yer dekan dekan. That he can hold the shofar in his hand, and there'll be visible the shofar on both sides of his hand, that's enough. So it's a little over a tefach, in other words. Hayo kalo dak, if it makes a very high-pitched sound, o ava, or it makes a very deep sound, utzarur, or the other possibility of the Gyosei is tzarud, which means a dry, raspy type of sound, all of them are kasher, because as we said from Yishami before, any sound for the shofar is fine. Shekol akolot kshirim b'shofar, because any sound is fine as long as it's coming through the shofar. Shalchu le'lavu adishmo, kadecho v'takabo, if you drill it out and blow in it, yatsa, you're yotze. He says, pshita, kulo nami midgach kadecho luhu. All of them, we have to drill them out. I mean, the way that the shofar, we explained this earlier in the Masechta, shfoferet, that when you take out the piece from the inside, what's left on the outside is the shofar or the shofaret. So you have to take out the inside. So what's the question here? That happens all the time. So Amar Ravashi shekadgo bezichruto. Now he left the internal bone in there and put a hole through it. I would think that would be chotzeitz, even though it's the mina shofar. And the answer is not, because that's the way it grows, and that's the mina shofar, and it's not chotzeitz, and you can blow through it, such a shofar. Okay, we'll stop over here.